This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. I'm Keetana and you're listening to Simply Save, our personal finance podcast. Today we have Kehzad Azizjania, our personal finance editor. Hi Kehzad.
Hi Keetana.
So we finished two seasons now, right?
Yes.
In the first season, we spoke about life stage financial planning.
That's correct.
And in the second season, we spoke about special situations in which people need to manage money. We've got overwhelming response for these seasons.
Okay, and that's good to know.
We've got a lot of questions as well.
Okay.
So in this episode, I thought we could cover some questions.
Sure.
We can talk about what
Absolutely.
People wanted to know.
Yep.
Right now, we've shortlisted five questions.
Okay.
The first question, I'm going to talk about travel.
Okay.
It's the most exciting thing.
Obviously.
People want to plan.
And who doesn't like to travel?
Yeah, who doesn't? The query is, I'm in my 30s and I want to go on a month-long vacation across Europe. I do have some spare money, but I want to know if it is advisable to seek a loan from the bank to go on my holiday.
Okay. So, I'm just getting over the fact that somebody wants to go on a month-long vacation. I mean, I've never been on a month-long vacation in my entire life, and I don't even know whether during my career I'll be able to go on a month-long vacation.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's a good ambition to have. That's a good wish list to have.
Yeah.
And especially if you're in your 30s, I'm sure you'll be able to do a lot in that 1 month, go around and do lots of things. But, see, here's the deal. You know, travel is good. Okay, taking a break obviously is good. I'm not particularly bothered about the tenure, but to answer your question straight away, taking a loan is not at all advisable.
Okay.
Because, and this is something that we discussed in, I think one of the episodes, I don't remember in season one or season two, but I think in season one, we did talk about loans, right?
And
we spoke about good loans and we spoke about bad loans.
Okay.
So good loans are those loans that you take because you want to create an asset or it does something good to you in the long run. Like for example, a housing loan, it builds an asset. An education loan is a good loan because it sort of furthers your career prospects. It helps you get education and all of that.
Okay.
And then there are bad loans. Okay. Like you take personal loans for reasons such as this, that you want to travel.
Okay.
Now travel obviously is an activity, it's a fun activity. So why do you want to borrow money and go into somebody's debt? Because you want to have fun.
Okay.
You obviously have fun. You should have fun if you can afford it. And you have fun out of your own money.
Okay.
Because there's something, there is no such thing as a vacation loan. Okay. It's a personal loan.
Okay.
Okay. So you take a personal loan for any sort of personal reasons. Holiday is one of them. Okay, personal loans are very expensive.
Okay.
They're the most, one of the most expensive. So personal loans, the interest rates are about 16, 17, 18%.
Wow.
Okay. So why do you want to take such an expensive loan? Because you want to have fun. Because the thing is that after you come back, you'll have to grind yourself again and pay this loan for however amount of time. And then, you know, it curtails your other expenditure also. So first of all, you want to go for a month long vacation, that too on a loan. Month long vacations are expensive.
Okay.
You want to take, borrow such a high amount and then go and then, you know, borrow high amount, meaning you have to pay a very high EMI. So my request is please do not take loans for holidays and don't do EMIs for these kind of reasons. There are better reasons for you to take a loan and do EMIs.
Okay.
It's okay to have an ambition to go on a holiday. If you want to take a vacation, be reasonable. Go for, let's say, a couple of weeks if you're at the start of your career. That's good enough. Okay. Have a goal like, let's say, 2 years down the line or 3 years down the line. I want to plan a special holiday. Put money in a short-term debt fund or put money in a liquid fund.
Okay.
Do an SIP. Do an SIP of, let's say, 5,000 a month.
Okay.
So that's 60,000 a year and 120,000. Over a two-year period. So if you're keeping 120,000 capital over a two-year period, obviously that's good enough for you to be able to afford a good international holiday over a period of 2 weeks. So that's all it takes.
Okay.
A little bit of extra planning, a little bit of careful planning, a little bit of advanced planning.
Okay.
Don't take loans. Okay. You can afford it yourself, but you need to give yourself a little bit of time to build that corpus.
Okay, sounds good. The next query seems to be from a similar age group. They've asked, how should I best use my incentive that I received last month? I have 1,20,000 rupees and how should I invest it?
Okay, so first of all, congratulations if you've got an incentive of 1,20,000 rupees. basics. Okay, if you have any loan on your head, if you have any credit card debt, which I hope you don't have, but if you have, then please pay off your debts first.
Try paying off your
EMIs. If your EMIs are for a very long tenure, and if 1,20,000 rupees isn't enough, then at least earmark some portion of 1,20,000 rupees to pay off your debt, especially your credit card debt. If you have a rolling credit card debt on you, please pay it off immediately. After you pay your debts, just invest this amount. Invest this amount as per what you want to do with your money. Like if you have some goals, or if you have a holiday goal, for instance, which we discussed in the previous question, you can earmark some portion of this in that for that particular goal. You can invest, let's say, in an equity fund for the next 5-year period, or for the at least for the next 5 to 7 year period. Have at least one equity fund, one short-term bond fund, and one liquid fund. This is the basic portfolio that every beginner investor should have. Or at the beginning of their investment journey, and then as you get more and more money, you can always build up on that.
So
first pay off your loans and then you invest.
That's great. Another query. In the Life Stage Financial Planning series, you mentioned every person should have a life insurance despite getting employee cover.
That's true.
It seemed impractical, as in case of a medical emergency, I would use only an insurance cover.
What the reader is trying to ask is that, you know, if you have two insurance policies and, if there is a sickness, and you use one insurance policy, why do you need another insurance policy? So there are two things over here. One is that you obviously need a backup of your own insurance cover, as in you need your own insurance cover as a backup to what the employer gives you, because today the company is in a good position, so they can offer you an insurance cover. But tomorrow, what if there is cost cutting? What if the economy goes down? And if the if your employer wants to do cost cutting, they can cut costs across several parameters, right? They can withdraw your insurance cover also, because that's the benefit that your employer is giving. So you don't want to be in a position where the employer suddenly, you know, takes away the insurance cover and you are left with no insurance cover, and then you fall sick. What happens then? So first of all, you need to have your own insurance cover. Also, what happens is when you leave a job and when you go from this company to, let's say, another company, what if the next company that you go to does not have an insurance cover benefit? So your insurance cover will vanish overnight. Of your company's insurance cover vanish overnight if the day you switch your job. And then other company also does not have insurance. It's a double whammy for you. So you need to have your own insurance cover. That's one. Second reason is that suppose your company gives you an insurance cover of, let's say, 5 lakh. You have your own insurance cover of, let's say, 3 lakh. So what is the total insurance cover that you have? 8 lakh.
8 lakh.
Okay. So what happens is that suppose if there is a sickness and you get hospitalized and the bill comes up to 4 lakh. Or whatever, even if it comes to 1 lakh, my suggestion is that you always first use your employer's insurance cover. Use that first. Keep your personal cover for yourself. But suppose if, let's say, the bills are of 4 lakh and your company cover is 5 lakh, then your company cover is enough. But what if your bills are 6 lakh and your company cover is 5 lakh. So you take 5 lakh from your employer's cover, and additional 1 lakh can come from your personal cover. So that's where that's also how your personal cover can come into use.
Actually, I do remember that you talked about this. But also, I mean, if I'm in my 20s, would it be too soon to get a insurance?
No, on the contrary, you have to be too soon to get in your life stage to get an insurance cover, because the premium amount is low. See, when you are in your 20s or 30s, you are at your healthiest, right? So if you're at your healthiest, it's easier for you to get a medical cover. Your premium is also at the lowest. It's only when you age, and then your age related complications kick in, like your sugar or your cholesterol or your blood pressure or what have you, then it's difficult for you to get a cover, and your premium also goes up, because the chances of falling, what is the probability, how do insurance companies decide how much premium you have to buy?
It depends on your health,
right? If the probability of you going back to the insurance company for reimbursement is high, then your premium also would be high. So which is why in your 20s and 30s, when you are at your healthiest, do get yourself an insurance cover, get inside the insurance umbrella at a cheaper cost. And then then they cannot cancel the cover. All you have to do is you have to keep renewing it every year.
Sounds good. Now I'm coming to one of my favorite questions, because I have also been thinking about this. In the 20s podcast, where you were talking about the people in their 20s should start calculating their expenses,
okay,
and how much they're earning,
yeah,
and everything. How do they manage that? How do they calculate it? How do they keep track of it?
Okay, so I think there are quite a lot of apps, Kirtana, that allow people to sort of input their expenses,
yeah,
and then they group their expenses into various heads, and then they give you a big picture.
Okay,
personally, I've never used any of those apps at length. I prefer to use, I'm a bit of a traditional person, so I use Microsoft Excel to do that. So it's a little bit of a tedious way, but it helps you maintain records.
Okay.
So have like, you have your credit card bill, right?
Yeah.
And you have your bank statement from where your money goes.
Yeah.
So keep a tab of your credit card statement and your bank statement, and your, let's say, your PTM or your mobile wallet or whatever mobile wallets that you use. Everybody gives you a monthly account statement of where the money has gone.
Yeah.
Okay. You maintain it in Excel and then group all your expenses monthly, preferably monthly, because otherwise it becomes like a too much of a backlog.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and group it under, let's say, groceries, travel, daily transport, you know, entertainment or personal care. You know, these 5-6 big heads is all that you need.
Okay.
And then you just keep adding your monthly expenses, and then you keep tracking that, you know, in which month, let's say, your certain expenses which have gone up, gadgets, for example, can be another head.
Okay.
You know, people of that age spent a lot on the latest iPhone or the latest headphone,
yeah, sure,
or the latest this or the latest that. So gadgets is always a big thing. Food and entertainment is one.
Yeah.
So that's the basic, simplest way of maintaining your expense sheet. Otherwise, there are apps that allow you to do
it. Yeah, there are apps. Okay. Moving on to the last question. One of our listeners has asked, as a young salary earner, I want to understand the dynamics of saving up. Since I work in my hometown, I don't have to pay rent, which would be about 15 to 20,000 per month. Please suggest how I can invest this money and grow it.
Okay, so again, the answer is quite similar to one of the first questions that we answered. You need three basic mutual fund schemes to start off with. You need one liquid fund, you need one or two equity funds, and you need one short-term bond fund.
Okay.
Okay, so these this basket of three and four funds is good enough for you to get started off with. An equity fund is something where you invest because you want, let's say, money after 5 to 7 years. So that's long-term investment. You can do an SIP every month depending on what your fixed expenses are every month, and, and whatever residue amount is left, then you can plan your SIPs that way. A short-term debt fund is something that is for a slightly nearer term goal. For example, let's say you want to save up for a holiday, as we discussed earlier, or some expenses, or you want to buy a car or something, you know, save up in a short-term bond fund for a period of about 3 or 4 years, and then accumulate the money. And your liquid fund money, liquid fund is again, it's like a contingency corp, some emergency expense that comes up. So do a small SIP of, let's say, 2,000 or 3,000 every month, or 4,000 also every month, into a liquid fund, and let all these three SIPs run in perpetuity.
Okay.
As in when you need money, if you need money, let's say within the next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, tap only your short-term bond fund and liquid fund. Mm-hmm. If you need money much later than that, then hopefully by that time your equity fund corpus would have also grown to a sizable amount, and you can reap the benefits out of it. But let your SIPs continue and do your SIPs every month.
Okay.
And don't break your SIPs.
Okay. But how long term can we go with the investments?
So equity funds, normally we say that, you know, don't nothing less than 5 years.
Okay.
Nothing less than 5 years. Okay. Even if your funds give exponential returns in the next 1 year or 2 years, suppose if there is a Modi rally or some other rally which has happened and your funds have just shot up, there's no reason for it to, for you to remove your funds within 1 year. Keep your equity, unless you desperately need the money.
Okay.
But otherwise, at least 5 year term is a good enough definition of a long term. The longer the time, the better it is.
Okay.
But at least 5 years. Never look at equity funds for anything less than 5 years.
Okay. Thanks, Kezad. This was really insightful.
Thank you, Kirtana. My pleasure.
Thanks for addressing these queries. I hope our listeners will make the most of it. With that, we wrap this episode. If you have more queries or you have any suggestions that we can cover in the next episode, please write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.